You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. A group of nearly three dozen scientists from around the world have issued a warning to humanity. Pay attention to microbes. They may be, well, microscopic, but they play critical roles in the Earth's climate systems, and we ignore them at our own peril. David Mark Welch was one of the signatories on that letter in the journal Nature Reviews Microbiology. He is director of the Marine Biological Laboratory's Bay Paul Center. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Heather.
So microbes, I mean, this is like a ridiculously large umbrella term. It's like saying all animals or all plants, right? And you refer to them as the unseen majority. Are we talking about any microbes in particular or just everything?
In terms of this letter, we're really talking about all microbes. And you're right. It's an incredibly broad topic. It's, in fact, broader than all plants or all animals because there are millions more microbial species than there are all of the plants and all of the animals and all of the fungi put together. So it really encompasses all microscopic life, everything that you can't see without a microscope. Bacteria, archaea, protists, which are single-celled eukaryotes, viruses, certain fungi that are single-celled. And as you said, they are everywhere throughout the world.
We've, I think, gained a greater and broader appreciation of the role of microbes in human health in recent years. But we don't talk a lot about the role of microbes in climate change. What are some of the roles of microbes in climate change?
So you have to understand that we live in a microbial world. Microbes run this planet. Microbes have been around for billions of years before plants and animals evolved. All of the major biogeochemical functions on this planet came about because of microbes and continue to be run by microbes. So when you talk about something like climate, the major biological influence of climate, aside from anthropomorphic changes, of course, have always been microbes. So when the climate starts to change, the microbes are going to react to that change. They're going to react to that change in ways that can be beneficial or harmful to the climate.
So they could either be sucking in carbon dioxide, hopefully getting it out of the atmosphere, or it sounds like they could actually potentially be a source of carbon dioxide or other greenhouse gases.
Exactly. Microbes in the ocean are responsible for about 50% of the carbon fixation on this planet. In other words, drawing carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. On the other hand, those same microbes are respiring and putting carbon dioxide back into the atmosphere. So it's a balance. As the climate warms up, those microbes react to that in different ways. And one of the points of this letter was pointing out that we really don't understand how the microbes are going to react. If you raise the temperature of the water, will there be more carbon fixation? Will there be more drawdown of carbon dioxide into the oceans? Or will the microbes react in a different way so that there could actually be less drawdown of carbon? We know that ocean acidification has a tremendous potential effect on mollusks and other things with shells, but it also seems to have some effect on microbial communities and the way that those microbes interact with each other, the amount of effort that microbes put into respiring, giving off carbon dioxide versus other aspects of their life. So ocean acidification may also affect the carbon balance because microbes will react differently.
David Mark Welch, it sounds like, I mean, first of all, we don't necessarily know all of the ways that microbes are involved in climate change and all the ways that they might respond to climate change. But it almost sounds like you're suggesting that we might be able to be in control a little bit of how they respond. That otherwise, why would we need to wake up and pay attention to this, right? So do we have an inkling that we might be able to have some control over the role that microbes play in climate change?
Well, it's hard to think about something like control when you're talking about something as large as the Earth. The environment that microbes inhabit is literally the entire planet. But there are things that we do that influence microbial communities, and we can influence them in a way that causes them to help reduce greenhouse gases, or we can do things that will cause them to emit more greenhouse gases.
So what are examples of those kinds of things?
So when we think about wetlands and other sort of marsh ecosystems that all up and down the coast right here in Cape Cod, it turns out that the salinity of those marshes plays a crucial role in whether or not the bacteria that's in the marshes or the other microbes that are in the marshes release more methane or absorb more methane. And methane, of course, is an extremely potent greenhouse gas, much more potent than carbon dioxide because of its length of time that it spends in the atmosphere. As a salt marsh becomes fresher, the microbes that are in the marsh change their metabolism and actually start producing more methane. So one of the things that we can be more aware of is that various actions that we take in communities and wetlands restorations is pushing the balance towards saltier salt marshes. Unfortunately, things like climate change that cause more flooding and freshwater intrusions into salt marshes push that balance in the other direction so that we have more freshwater in the marshes, which can result in tremendously larger amounts of methane being reduced.
It sounds like, from what you're saying, I mean, there are a lot of questions, but we already know that microbes are vitally important in basically every ecosystem and therefore in climate change as well. Why did you and this group of 30-odd other scientists feel it was necessary to issue a wake-up call, literally calling it a warning to humanity?
Well, it is. A lot of the attention around global warming has been spent on very justifiable things, forests, whales, polar bears, dramatic pictures of sled dogs going across puddles in Greenland. We can see that. We can understand it. It's impossible to see the microbes, so they're much less on our minds and much less on the minds of policymakers and people who think about climate change. In fact, people who have been modeling climate change, when you talk about the amount of carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide in the atmosphere, have always been thinking about the contributions that microbes make, because that's where those gases come from. That's the major ways in which they're cycled. But specifically thinking about what the microbial communities are actually doing is not even a question that we were able to ask until very recently. And a lot of the advances that have been made scientifically, and I know you've talked on your program about the human microbiome and advances that we're making understanding what microbes are doing, we can now apply to the world outside the human gut. And that's exactly what we're doing. And we're having a greater appreciation that these microbial communities are critical and that they're not static black boxes that can just be ignored or just be treated as a single variable in a model.
So then is your warning really aimed at policymakers and the public to pay attention to the body of science that we have? Or is this also aimed at your colleagues, fellow scientists, to say, hey, there's a lot more that we need to know and we need to be paying more attention to this as well?
Really all three. The main pitch towards the scientists is, honestly, here is a credible review article that you can cite that you need to point out that, you know, that we need to be funding more studies of microbiome science. But it's also written towards policymakers and the general public. I mean, it was intentionally written at a level of, you know, a Scientific American review article. So people who want to can download this and read it. There are call-out boxes that explain the various terms that are used. It's designed to be, you know, readable and understandable by the educated public. It's followed up by other articles that point out the need for greater public education around microbes and their role in the environment. Too often, we still think of microbes as a small number of isolated things, most of which cause disease. But microbes are everywhere, and they dominate everything that happens on this planet. And we need a better understanding of that scientifically and a better appreciation of it, both among the public and among policymakers.
Well, David Mark Welch, what kind of responses would you hope would come from this other than more funding for research, obviously? And you've mentioned better education about microbes and their roles in ecology and human health. But at the policy level, I mean, how different would the resulting climate policy look if we were explicitly considering microbes?
I think the most worrisome thing is that we really have no idea how microbial communities will be responding to the changing climate. And it seems likely from recent studies that we are vastly underestimating the rapid speed at which these microbial communities can change and the drastic effect that that can have on things. Just a few years ago, we were talking about 25, 50, or 100-year time horizons for impacts of climate change, talking about what the world is going to be like in 2100. We now realize that the world is potentially going to be very different in 2030. Or 2040. Huge amounts of the permafrost are melting far more rapidly than we ever expected. And what microbes are going to do with that permafrost is critically important, because microbes will either metabolize all of that carbon in the permafrost and release it as CO2, potentially doubling or even more tripling the amounts of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which would be beyond catastrophic. The IPCC models for climate change talk about 2-degree warming. They talk about 4-degree warming as being catastrophic. If the carbon in the permafrost were to be converted into carbon dioxide, we'd be looking at 8 to 12 degrees of global warming, and we have no idea what that would mean. We don't know if that's what the microbes are going to do, or if they're going to ignore it, or if they're going to evolve other functions. Some of the recent work that's come out of the Marine Biological Laboratory showed that as soil warms, the microbial communities that are in it undergo relatively drastic changes in a short period of time as they adapt to different carbon sources and to warming temperatures. And we really do not know what those new functions are, how those microbial communities are going to be interacting with the new sources of carbon that are going to be made available to them within the next 5 to 10 years.
Is there anything, I'm thinking along the lines of, you know, when we talk about microbes in human health, there are dietary changes you can make, you can wash your hands more or less, you know, all these personal actions we can take. Is there any role for individual personal actions in kind of taking microbes into account with climate change? Or is this really something that needs to be addressed at the level of science and policy?
Well, science and policy, but it can also happen at the community level. Restoring wetlands and marshes can make a tremendous difference, potentially. Hate to say this as an avid meat eater, but choosing to eat less beef is, you know, one of the single most important things that you can do for climate change, because the bacteria that are in those cows are major, major sources of methane. It turns out that that is largely because of the force-fed diets that industrialized meat production creates. Grass-fed beef produce far less methane. So an individual can choose to eat less meat, no meat, grass-fed meat, and that would have a direct impact. But there are things that we can do at a community level to think about our local environments that would help not only things we're used to thinking about, plants and animals, but also the microbes that live in those environments to create a healthier ecosystem. And again, shift that balance a little bit so that the microbes that are there draw in more carbon than they give off, eat methane instead of producing methane, eat nitrous oxide instead of producing nitrous oxide. All of that is potentially possible.
David Mark Welch is the director of the Marine Biological Laboratory's Bay Paul Center. He was one of nearly 3 dozen scientists who signed a letter in the journal Nature Reviews Microbiology, issuing a warning to the world that we need to pay more attention to microbes and their role in climate change. David, thanks.
Thank you, Heather.